ABC Radio Australia.
French President Emmanuel Macron is again turning his attention to the political future of New Caledonia. Macron is in talks this week with New Caledonia's political stakeholders to clarify last year's signed Bougival Accord that would allow the French Pacific nation to become a state within France. But tensions continue over the territory's independence, as one of its main pro-independence groups, FLNKS, have actually rejected the agreement, and they were notably absent from these discussions. To get a better understanding of the current situation, we have Islands business correspondent Nick McLennan on the line with us. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning.
As always, thank you very much for joining us. Look, the situation at the moment, here we are again, Nick, another roundtable of talks with French President Macron. I mean, what do we know so far and what has actually maybe been discussed at these talks? Like, are you aware of what the expected outcome is?
Well, some breaking news just 2 hours ago as we speak. President Macron and five parliamentary groups present in Paris have signed a new agreement to complement the text negotiated last July that was known as the Bougival Agreement. So the new agreement, called the Élysée-Oudinot Accord, was signed by representatives from New Caledonia. The one exception, as you mentioned, is the FLNKS independence movement, which boycotted the talks in Paris. So after 4 days, they have come to a process to amend the French constitution and bring in a new political statute. Now, there's lots of caveats on that. We still don't have the final text, which was literally hours ago being finalized in Paris. The timetable set out from the agreement to change the French constitution involves a number of steps, including, once again, for the fourth time, the delay of elections in New Caledonia. The current Congress has been there since 2019. So there's a whole lot of questions about how this will play out. But nonetheless, it's a significant achievement after a long process to get this far.
Yeah, well, definitely that is a lot to have to come through in the last couple of hours. You just spoke about the, you know, the delay. And I mean, again, the constant delays, right? Now for the third time. What do you make of this? Because I don't know about you, but it seems to have become a bit of a political exhaustion, really.
I think many ordinary New Caledonians are tired. There's been a lot of political debate about the way forward. The fundamental issue is that France doesn't want to decolonize New Caledonia, despite the flowery rhetoric. And one of the reasons that the FLNKS, the main independence coalition, didn't turn out to these talks is that they feel that the so-called Bougival process that began last year doesn't actually create a pathway to a sovereign and independent nation. Bougival talked about a state within a state, so the state of New Caledonia within the French Republic, and that's quite a complex, you know, constitutional notion. There are many questions about this. Two pro-independence political parties, PALIKA and UPM, the Progressive Melanesian Union, both joined the talks in Paris and both have signed the new Élysée-Oudinot Accord. But there's a lot of questions. We have to await the release of the text in coming days to read the devil in the detail about what's involved.
Well, Nick, you know, with the FLNKS not being present at these talks, I mean, how significant is that? And obviously it looks like it didn't matter since they've already moved forward with signing this agreement.
Well, it does matter in the sense that historically any agreement that has moved New Caledonia forward after periods of conflict has involved all parties. The Matignon-Oudinot Accord. Matignon was the Prime Minister's headquarters in Paris. Oudinot, Rue d'Oudinot, is where the Overseas Ministry is. They were signed back in 1988 to end a period of conflict known as Les Événements, where, you know, there was armed conflict between the French state supporters and opponents of independence. The Noumea Accord, signed in 1998, came after lengthy negotiations, but once again, saw compromises and involvement of all parties. The very fact that France hasn't been able to persuade significant elements of the independence movement that this is the way forward shows the failure of French policy. And there's a real danger that if they try and ram this through parliamentary processes, because there's quite a long way to go to make it actual law, there could be further conflict in New Caledonia. There's a whole range of uncertainties, both legally and politically. For example, New Caledonia's elections for the provincial assemblies and Congress was due to be held in June. The timetable mapped out in the agreement to bring in fundamental law for New Caledonia, a constitutional law to change the French constitution, it's going to take months. And so they're proposing once again to delay the provincial elections until later this year, between September and December this year. Now, as I say, the last elections were held in 2019.
Wow.
That's 7 years ago. And so, you know, for France to talk about democratic processes, there's real concern. The other question, of course, is the stability of the French government itself. Just as we speak, the French government has rammed through the budget using a constitutional provision known as 49.3 against the wishes. So basically, the French budget has been approved, but without a vote in the National Assembly. That's angered both the left-wing La France Insoumise and the right-wing Rassemblement National. There's going to be censure motions, no confidence motions in the government coming up next week. There's a whole lot of moving parts. And I think all of this is framed by the fact that President Macron is coming to the end of his second term in office. There are elections due in May next year for the French presidency. There's also municipal elections coming up in March, the provincial elections. There's a lot of political posturing. And it may be that this may not play out and enter into law. And so this is a significant achievement by the French government to persuade most but not all parties to sign on to an agreement. That's been a long time coming since the three referendums on New Caledonia's independence. The involvement of the rights, the Loyalist Rassemblement, as well as the UNI pro-independence group is significant. But there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, you know, when we look at the Bougival text, we understand, yeah, it's faced a lot of obstacles. I'm just wondering, with FLNKS, they've always been adamant that they would not settle for no less than full sovereignty. I mean, yeah, does this reset the independence process, or are we just looking at New Caledonia moving further and further away from that?
I think, you know, this is a significant achievement, but if it has to get into law later this year before it takes effect. I'm not sure how this will play out, and I think everyone's waiting to see what happens both in France and in New Caledonia. Their elections will be significant, and one of the real changes that this involves is if the constitutional law can pass through the French Senate in February, the French National Assembly in April, a joint sitting of both houses, and then go to a referendum in New Caledonia, maybe about June or July, the dates are pretty uncertain, that will change the voting rules. And people may remember, we've talked about this many times on the program, that the vexed question of who is New Caledonian, who is eligible to vote for the local political institutions, the three provinces, the Congress, that's been a matter of debate for decades, and indeed was the trigger for last year's conflict, which saw 6 months of clashes between CNAC protesters, French security forces, 14, 15 people dead, enormous economic damage. And I think this is a concern that if the French government tries to ram this stuff through without forging a political consensus with everyone, they face difficult times. The loyalists obviously say that, you know, the FLNKS is the roadblock. Everyone else agrees. But I think we'll wait and see for the elections as to who benefits from this agreement and who loses out.
Yes, and I was going to ask, because obviously ever since that sort of unfortunate time with the riots in New Caledonia, it's been noted that President Macron has now framed this, you know, accord as restoring some type of stability. But Nick, I have to ask, like, really, for whom, though? Is it the French state? Is it investors or even the Kanak people themselves?
Look, I think symbolically, as I say, we don't have the text of the agreement. It'll be released in the next couple of days, I imagine. Until then, we don't know the full detail of what's been agreed in Paris. There are some early signs. There's some recognition of the Kanak people being added to what was missing from the Bougival agreement. There's been greater focus on the provinces. And one of the things the loyalists pushed very hard for, and from early reports, is what's happened in this new Élysée agreement to give greater strength to the provinces rather than the government of New Caledonia. That will obviously give more power to the southern province, where the loyalists and conservative parties are in power. There's a whole range of things. But I think symbolically, you know, the Noumea Accord, which was an agreement between everyone, the French state supporters and all opponents of independence, brought together everyone and was signed in Noumea, in the capital of New Caledonia. The very fact that this is called the Élysée-Oudinot Agreement, Élysée being the French presidential palace where Macron lives and works, Oudinot, the overseas ministry, this is very much a Parisian agreement. And I think we're going to have to see how it plays out. The main independence party, Union Caledonienne, will hold a congress in late January, early February. I don't think the date's been set yet, but it's coming up within weeks. And that's going to be very telling, the sort of debates that they hold. Union Caledonians, the oldest and largest political party in New Caledonia. It's at the heart of the FLNKS after the two other parties who'd negotiated in Paris split away. So the decisions and debates at this Union Caledonian Congress in a few weeks' time will be really crucial about how people react to the agreement once it's actually released to the public.
Yeah. And Nick, look, finally, as we wrap up, I do want to ask your thoughts on, you know, the state of the economy in New Caledonia now, the fact that we are approaching the two-year anniversary of the riots.
It's very difficult times. You know, the economy dropped 13.5% of gross domestic product in 1 year in 2024. That's an enormous hit to the economy. And there's all sorts of hits to jobs, to social services. You know, public transport in Noumea has been cut back. The airlines are in terrible economic strife. The local domestic airline, Air Cal, is now going to operate out of the main airport rather than the capital. Times are really tough for ordinary people. And part of the agreement that's been signed in Paris this morning is an economic package. The French government has proposed a whole range of financial commitments. And literally as we speak, that those negotiations are still going on. It's nighttime in Paris as we're speaking, but I understand that the talks are continuing about the content of that financial package, which is a crucial element of this new Élysée-Oudinot Accord, simply because until New Caledonia gets control over its trade relations, over the capacity to have economic assistance from other countries, France is the main financial provider. But the French government are demanding massive economic reforms and fiscal reforms from the government of New Caledonia. Many public services have been running, you know, at a budgetary loss for years. And France is saying, we're going to give you, putting it bluntly, give you a bucket of money as long as you make cutbacks to overspending, cut back the number of public servants, cut back a range of social services that are provided to people. You know, it's a very wealthy country with the amount of money France puts in every year by Pacific standards, but that money is not equally allocated. And I think that's one of my major concerns, that, you know, the inequalities that have existed in New Caledonia, I think, will be exacerbated by some of the budgetary policies that France is pushing. And we saw last year that it was young people living in the public housing, living in the squatter settlements, who came out and rioted, who were involved in terrible destruction of public infrastructure, private businesses, you know, and there's a level of delinquence and criminality today, still, even though there's relative calm compared to the violence of 2024. The crisis in New Caledonia is driven by social and political and cultural inequality, not foreign interference. And I think, you know, there's a real danger that some of the policies that the French government will propose will in fact exacerbate some of those divisions and inequalities, and that's not good news for anyone.
Nick, as always, great to have you on the show. We unpacked quite a bit there, and of course you allowed us to know that there has now been a signing of that new agreement. So we will keep our eyes and ears for anything coming out from Paris. But thank you again for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks as always.
No worries. That is Island Business correspondent Nick McLennan.